This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
And we got, there we go. Turn that one up more. Why am I not? Nope. Just turn them all on, Ben. We're going to make this work. We're going to figure this out. Turn one on, two.
Why?
There we go. We just got, you know, it's early. It's Monday. We just got to find the right, you know, it's like that one annoying coworker, you know. Sometimes you got to push the right buttons. Gotcha. You push the right buttons, you get the best work. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It is wonderful to have you here. The Rob Brown Show, Rivalry Week edition, is underway. My dudes, my dudettes, my amigos, my amigettes, spectacular to have you here. I hope that you had a fantastic football weekend. I hope that your team won this weekend. So that rivalry weekend matters. And for many, if not most, if not all of you, it does. It does. We have got a day lined up today because we have got a gazillion and a half things that we need to get to over the course of the next handful of hours. So strap in, sit tight, let's rock and roll. I am Rob Brown. Great to have you. The great one, Lonzo, off this week. I watched Tomb Raider. I got back into The Sopranos again. I decided I needed a rewatch of The Sopranos. I love that show. Great show. Except for, like, every now and then I start going Tommy DeVito with it. Like Baker Mayfield going into the end zone, giving the old Tommy DeVito. I got to tell you, it bothered the crap out of me that there was a reporter in the postgame press conference that was doing horror darndest to try to convince everybody that Baker Mayfield was being culturally insensitive by dropping the Tommy DeVito on the Giants. And I thought Baker handled it well. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But the great one out today, my man Ben sitting in his place running the air chair for us. What's up, big fella? How we doing? Grab that mic, swing it over to you. Don't lean over that hard. Harder than you have to, Ben. You already got to put up with me for like 12 on-air hours this week. Don't make it worse.
Come on now. I haven't counted yet.
I mean, 3-4 hour days. It's upper level math. I understand. But we're going to get you through it, bud. Thanks for coming in, man. Good to have you.
Thank you, sir.
We have got all the stuff to talk about on the show today. We have got to get into the Gamecocks win over Wofford and Clemson's win over the Citadel this weekend, because all of the sudden, with all of the other chaos that took place around the college football landscape, and chaos there was, my dear friends, all of the sudden, Clemson versus South Carolina kind of matters a lot. Like, we already thought, I've been saying for a couple of weeks, that for at least one team, this was going to be a playoff eliminator. Now, I have been telling you for a hot minute, specifically you, Gamecock fans. I have been telling you for a hot minute, slow your roll. I do not think, unfortunately for you, I do not think that there is a path to the playoffs for a three-loss team. Turns out, I may have been wrong about that. I may have been wrong about that, but there is one problem for the South Carolina Gamecocks if there is indeed a path to the playoffs for a three-loss team. The problem is your loss to Alabama. The problem is that your loss is to a team that is much more likely to be the three-loss team that gets in. I am sorry. I told you when that happened that that loss felt like one of those losses that might bite you square on the booty cheeks. I mean square on the butt cheek. I thought that that loss was going to prove problematic for you for a multitude of reasons. And the closer we get to the end of the season, the more I think I might have been right about that. And that stings, man. However, that does not mean that it's still not on the table, because Alabama has got a game against the Auburn Tigers. The unfortunate part for you is that it is in Tuscaloosa, not in Opelika, Alabama. Because as Nick Saban said, and now Mike Elko will confirm, Jordan-Hare Stadium is cursed. It's haunted. There are ghosts of Aubie's past floating around in that stadium, as we all found out when they were able to knock off the Colt in four overtimes this weekend and send Texas A&M to the ranks of the three-loss Southeastern Conference squads. So that opened the door just a little bit. Now, if there is a path for South Carolina, as we have said, a time or 97, you are going to need a lot of help. And you are now big Auburn fans, South Carolina, because if Alabama has three losses and you have three losses, despite the fact that, yes, indeed, your schedule was more difficult, that is not a question mark. That is a statement of fact. If indeed you are both three-loss teams, they are going to get in ahead of you, obviously, what with the heads-up victory. A heads-up victory, South Carolina fans at the time were, and to this day should, be very proud of. A heads-up victory that was, I think, the game where the national attention started turning to Columbia, South Carolina. But a game that you lost nonetheless. And a game that when the committee starts to put together their rankings, they are not going to say, well, you know, Alabama did beat South Carolina, but South Carolina has the harder schedule. They are going to stop after sentence number one. Ah, well, Alabama did beat South Carolina. End of discussion. And that's kind of the spot that you find yourself in. This is why I have said over the past two or three weeks of football, I think South Carolina is the biggest what-if team in America. Because there are not one, but two games on the docket that I think if South Carolina fans were to look at, they could say, what if? What if? What if Lenoris Sellers did not go down in that LSU game? Remember, end of the first half, Lenoris Sellers has a lower leg issue. He gets removed from the game. He tries to come back out in the second half, and he just did not have it to get the wheels under him. What if he stayed healthy? What if there weren't a couple of garbage calls down the stretch of that game, and South Carolina would have won that thing? What if? What if? What if? What if South Carolina would have finished on the road at Alabama? I'll tell you what if. What if you would have won either one of those games? You'd be in the playoffs. That's what if. But you didn't. And so now you got to make the best of the cake that's on the table in front of you. And making the best of that is going to require you to go knock off the Clemson Tigers this weekend. It's going to require you to go into Death Valley and walk back out with an L. Now, this is kind of interesting because I do think that there is a path to the playoff for South Carolina. The problem is it is a journey to Mordor caliber level of difficulty. And it's not what you can do or not do. You know what you can do. You know what you need to do. You got to go down to Death Valley and you got to knock off the Clemson Tigers. Is that possible? Sure. Sure. I'll tell you right now. I think this game is winnable by either side. I think that this is potentially the most even game in terms of just looking at it from 30,000 feet. And we'll do this with John Blau of the Post and Courier coming up this morning at about 8:40 a.m. From a 30,000-foot view, I absolutely do think that this is probably the most even matched Palmetto Bowl since I arrived here back in the year 2020. I think this is the most evenly matched Palmetto Bowl since I started covering these two teams for you guys here in the lovely upstate of South Carolina. In fact, I would go one step further and say, honestly, I think South Carolina might be a touch better. Not a lot. I'm not talking leaps and bounds. I'm not talking, gigantic steps forward. I'm saying I think right now they're just, if I was power ranking these teams as to who's playing better football, taking into consideration the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, I think you got to say South Carolina's playing better football. Not that they're a better team. Not that they have some gigantic advantage. I think they're just playing better football right now. Then you need a metric buttload of help when you get there. And that's going to be the interesting. The problem is, and I thought about this yesterday. The problem is, I think you have probably got like 8 games over the next 2 weeks that all have to go your way, right? South Carolina's sitting on a ticket with an 8-game parlay. And if they pull it off, there's a chance they get in at number 12. A chance. Not a guarantee. A chance you get in at number 12. What do you need? Well, I think there's a handful. I think you're going to need Penn State to eat a second loss. Penn State wraps it up against Maryland. Not great. Not great. I think you're going to need, likely, I don't know that a loss, but scratch that. I do know that a loss between Oregon and Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game doesn't help you. The loser of that game is still in. If Ohio State is 11 and 2, I can do this. Math is hard. Shut up. If Ohio State loses in the Big Ten title game and they are 11-2, I think that they are in. Doesn't help you. Oregon loses in the Big Ten title game. Let's assume that they are 12-1. They're in. Doesn't help you. Texas, I don't know. Penn State feels like a team out of the Big Ten that perhaps if they drop to Maryland, because not just they ate loss number two, but also when and who loss number two came to. That's the beautiful thing about South Carolina's 3 losses, if you can say such a thing. All of them, top 25 losses. Penn State loses to Maryland. Maybe they drop them. I don't know for a fact. But I think you will need Georgia to lose. If Georgia drops a game late, and this is against Georgia Tech, not a game you'd put in a parlay, I think you need Tennessee to lose. They're at Vanderbilt. Absolutely a possibility. Not likely, but a possibility. I think if those two lost teams lose, I think if SMU gets blown out by Miami, or Miami gets blown out by SMU in the ACC title game, I think they could potentially get dropped. The question mark is, and I've said this before, I think the Southeastern Conference, by participating in that conference, I think you get 1-game bonus credit. I said that since last year. I've said that since Alabama jumped Florida State last year. I think if you are in the Southeastern Conference, you get one game bonus credit. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, I think an SEC three-loss team will jump a two-loss team from the ACC, from the Big 12, potentially even from the Big 10. The good news from the Big 10 is, and I've said this before, I think the Big 10 has maybe the best public relations machine in all of sports. The Big 10 has everybody convinced that they are step and step, stride for stride with the Southeastern Conference. They're not even close. Yeah, they got four of the, what do they got? Three of the top five, but it's like the most top heavy league. After that, who is there, right? I mean, Indiana, that we are going to talk about later in the show because they got dog walked by the Buckeyes this weekend. As I told you last week, they would. I love Kurt Cignetti. He wins. Google him. Except this weekend, when Lonzo was texting me, I think it's time to retire the Kurt Cignetti sound clip. I don't think it is at all. But we'll circle back around because I think there is a I've developed a new philosophy on picking football games. And by developed, I mean kind of come around on one that a lot of you guys have been screaming for a very, very long time. But Indiana drops the L this past weekend to the Ohio State University. So we're going to talk about that coming up later on. But I think you would likely need Indiana to lose. Indiana's got Purdue this weekend. Again, probably not going to happen. I think Indiana's on a revenge tour. Kurt Cignetti got asked after the game if Indiana was still a valid playoff team after that loss to Ohio State, and he got indignant with the young, intrepid reporter who asked that question. I think being in the SEC gives you one game credit. I think a three-loss SEC team can jump a two-loss team from any other conference, provided the wins line up chronologically, right? Like if you get your third loss in the SEC late in the season, probably not as good. But if you carried three losses in from earlier in the season and a team drops one late, I think they'll move a three-loss SEC team over a two-loss team from the Big Ten. So I think if you hand Clemson their third, I think you will need Auburn to win in the Iron Bowl. But I think South Carolina could reasonably be expected to probably jump Arizona State. Arizona State is at Arizona. I think it would help if you get that L. I think it could be argued after they had a nail biter against Wyoming. I think it could be possible South Carolina could theoretically jump Boise State, though Boise State is in the mix for a Mountain West Conference championship game. So I think however that stacks up, you're rooting for Boise State to take an L either this weekend and rivalry weekend or next weekend in the MWC championship game. I think if Boise State drops an L, Indiana drops an L, whoever loses the ACC title game gets the doors blown off of them. Tennessee, Georgia both take L's. You beat Clemson. Alabama loses the Iron Bowl. I think you're in. You may have to fight with Ole Miss. You might be on Friday the biggest Mississippi State fans on planet Earth because I think you need that rivalry game to go your way as well. So there is a path, but like I said, there is a path that is similar to Frodo and Samwise delivering the One Ring to the fires of Mount Doom. Is it possible? Sure. But let's be real. Frodo and Sam should have got off like 50 times in that movie series, right? Should have been off like 50 times. And they needed, you know what you need? You need the Aragorn of Vanderbilt. You need the Gimli of Auburn. Ben, you didn't know I was going to go this full-out nerd-ass loser on college football, did you?
Rohan calls. We will answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Light the fires. Gondor calls for aid. South Carolina setting up the signal lanterns across the mountains.
Rohan will answer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's possible, but you're going to need like a ghost army. You're going to need Gandalf the White because the gray, not good enough. You're going to need Aragorn and Gimli and Legolas all this weekend. And, of course, all of it will come to naught. If you can't go down to Clemson, South Carolina, if you can't knock off Dabo and the Tigers. So we're going to spend some time talking about that game. Clemson fans, we'll talk about you as well, because I'm going to say it. Your path is a lot easier. Your path is a lot easier. Your path is still very available to grab an at-large. Beat South Carolina by 24. Beat their ass. Clemson, if you beat their ass, you're in. You are number 12. Now, number 12 does not guarantee, keep in mind, number 12 does not guarantee that you are in. I heard a bunch of people this weekend talking about having that 12 spot. And this is, by the way, within the AP poll. But remember, the AP poll inside of the top 10 has been largely reflective of what the college football playoff top 25 has been, right? So, assuming that that holds true. And by the way, Clemson is number 12 in both the AP Top 25 and the coaches poll. If that holds true, there's an L coming somewhere for somebody in the top 12. If Boise State does become a conference champion after Colorado's loss in the Big 12, if they become a conference champion, they're catching a bye. There is still a Big 12 champion that will have to be named and slip into the mix somewhere. But you are far from out of this, because somebody in that top 12 is going to take an out. It's real simple. All right, let's run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we'll look at some of the results from this college football weekend. Later on in the show, we'll get to the NFL slate as well, because, my goodness, we complained a couple of weeks ago. We said, hey, look, parity across the National Football League should be a good thing. Parity that results in boring football games should not be. Yesterday was not a boring day in the National Football League, so we'll take a look up and down that scoreboard. Coming up later on in the show at 8:40. John Blau of the Post and Courier will join us here on the show at 9 o'clock. Hayden Ask Mario for the BetQL Network will join us live on the stream. We got a busy day. Don't go anywhere. Want your thoughts, want your input. 844-FANFONE, 844-326-3663. We got 3 days this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I want every bit, every ounce of the talk that you can bring. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, Rob. My man Ben filling in for Lonzo today. You want to be a part of the show? I want you to be a part of the show. The Renewal by Interstate of the Carolinas fan phone is available to you this AM. 844-FANFONE, 844-326-3663. Our text line is open. 71-307. 71-307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air, like the texter who texted in during the break and said, I did not expect to hear a Lord of the Rings reference on my drive into work this morning. Love it. Well, texter, I don't know if you are new to the Rob Brown Show Armada, if you are welcome. I don't know if you are a seasoned veteran of the Rob Brown Show Armada, but if you are, my sports fandom and my nerd fandom, they aren't separated. They aren't segregated. They are one. All right. You're going to get Avengers references dropped into the sports. You're going to get Justice League references dropped into the sport. All right. You're going to get Lord of the Rings references, Star Wars references, Star Trek references. I mean, I don't discriminate. You can love sports and nerddom. Lonzo and I's office is referred to as the Fortress of Nerditude. All right. Like, by people in the building, all right? Like, it's full of that stuff. So, welcome. I'm sorry. If you're not into the nerd culture, you're just going to have to tolerate it every now and then, all right? It's just how it's going to be. The Sandstorm checks in on the stream. He said, South Carolina smokes Clemson by 21. Don't need any imaginary people. They are that much better. End quote. Like I said, I think if I'm power ranking these two teams right now, just in terms of who's playing better football, right? And keep in mind, I do want to be clear. There is a difference, as we tell you week to week when we do our power rankings. There is a difference between power rankings and rankings. Power rankings is who's better right now. The rankings take into consideration dating back to week zero. Power rankings are, if we looked at these two teams and what they are doing right now, it is the most, what have you done for me lately? Ooh, woo, 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 woo. Yeah. Ranking, say, what's your resume? What's your CV? What have you done from week zero 10 years ago all the way until week 13 now? That's the difference. And so with that being said, power ranking these two teams, if you ask me to do so, I got to say South Carolina's playing better football. Slow start against Wofford. But I think that is to be expected, right? South Carolina coming into that game had played like a lot of ranked teams consecutively. They had gotten through a lot of fistfights. Going into that Wofford game, they played Mizzou, who was ranked. Vanderbilt, who was ranked. Texas A&M, who was ranked. Oklahoma, who was ranked. Alabama, who was ranked. Ole Miss, who was ranked. The week before that, they did have Akron. They dropped a 50-burger on their heads. The week before that, LSU, who was ranked. Kentucky, who was ranked. In fact, at this point, it is easier to count the list of teams that were not ranked when South Carolina played them than it is to count the teams that were. Because the list is Wofford, Akron, and Old Dominion. Kentucky was ranked, LSU was ranked, Ole Miss was ranked, Alabama was ranked, Oklahoma was ranked, Texas A&M was ranked, Vanderbilt was ranked, Missouri was ranked. So it made sense to me. I don't think that this is a hot take. In fact, I think it's just football. There are a couple of cliches that I leaned on this weekend. You guys know I can't stand a college football, a sports cliche. I think cliches are overrated. I think cliches are lazy. I think cliches are too frequently leaned on by people in this position, people that serve as sports talk hosts. I think people lean on cliches because it gives them an out from having to really dive in and think things through. So I don't love them. But there were two cliches that I really did lean on this weekend. And if I have to lean on them for one weekend, then I think they are cliches for a reason. And I think those are cliches that have to be considered when you put your rankings together. One of those cliches came into play when I put a whole lot of money on Ohio State to cover up Indiana. They were 10.5-point favorites. They won by a lot more than that. Why? Well, the same reason that I gave you when Clemson lost to Louisville. You'll remember going into that game, and we talked about it. Clemson's offense was firing on all cylinders. Clemson's offense had Cade Klubnik suddenly as a I think the fifth or sixth shortest odds to win the Heisman Trophy. The offense was firing on all cylinders. Words are hard. I should be better at them. And then Louisville came to town. And I think just about everybody picked Clemson to go ahead and get another home dub over the Cardinal. And then we looked and said, you know, I think you gotta keep it a buck on this one. I think we've got to be intellectually honest. Before that Louisville game, Clemson had played one competitive game. Scratch that. Had played one game against a competitive team. The game was not competitive, and that is when they went up against Kirby Smart and his Georgia Bulldogs back in week one, and they got hammered. After that, App State, it's not that good this year. They're not the App State of old. NC State, I think that was the best team that you had played. You did hang a 59 on their head, and I do think that's a respectable NC State team. But, like, not cream of the crop. Stanford, who's not good. Florida State, who is maybe the most disappointing team in the history of college football. Wake Forest and Virginia. It wasn't exactly a who's who. And I think had we all leaned into the cliche of they really have not been tested in a way that there were lessons to be learned, right? Like, were there lessons to take away from the Georgia game? Yeah, Georgia was good. There was your lesson. Turns out maybe not as good as we thought they were, but the way they beat down Clemson, everybody said, oh, here comes Kirby and the dogs again. But there wasn't a lot you could take away from that game. What did you take away from App State, NC State, Stanford, Florida State, Wake Forest, and Virginia? Not much, right? I think we would have made some money if we would have leaned into the cliche of who have they played that has tested them. Who have they played that has created a situation that they could learn from and lean on? Being able to learn things. And I don't think that this is, I don't think I'm breaking the wheel here. Being able to learn stuff about yourself in a competitive game against a good team. Being able to figure out what about you is good, what about you is bad, what in your book works, what in your book doesn't, and then grow from that is massively important. That's why I picked Ohio State over Indiana. Because while I love Indiana, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I think it's a good football team. Please don't mistake this as me saying that Indiana is not a good football team. They are a good football team. I don't think Indiana's done. In fact, not only do I think Indiana is not done, I think they're going to run up the score on Purdue this weekend, and I think Indiana is absolutely getting into the college football playoffs after the season that they have had. I think probably is the 11th seed, maybe the 10th, but I think they're in. And so, looking at it that way, I went into this game and I said, I like Ohio State for the big dub. Why? Because Indiana has not been tested by a good team. They found themselves in a shootout with Michigan. But again, said going into that game, this is Michigan Super Bowl. They are working through what might be the most disappointing post-national championship year in a very long time. But this is their Super Bowl. They have two chances left this year to do something memorable. They have two chances left this year to do something that the seniors on that team are going to be able to talk about when they graduate and move on. I mean, they've all got it. Well, those that were there last year got a natty. But as far as this season goes, Michigan has two chances to do something special. They had Indiana, and they have Ohio State at the end of the year. So it felt like a Super Bowl game. So you got the absolute best game that Michigan has played all year long. But it's not a good team. And I hope nobody made the mistake of thinking that they are. They're not a good team. So Indiana had a shootout against a bad Michigan team, and then they had their first contest against a great team in Ohio State. That's why I went Ohio State to cover up 10.5 and leaned on that. That Clemson-Louisville loss from a few weeks ago, that loss has won me a lot of money because I dialed in after that. I dialed in after that on the, what is the competition before your tough first game? What is the competition you've played before the first time you're up against a team that can actually give you a little hell? Clemson, the answer was NC State. So they go up against Louisville. And yeah, it turns out maybe Louisville's a little bit overrated. But at the time, we didn't know that. At the time, Louisville was playing pretty good ball. I didn't go then. This weekend, I did. This weekend, I said, yeah, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep an eye on Indiana. They really haven't played anybody to get ready for Ohio State. I think they are in trouble, especially at the Big House, especially at the Shoe, especially up there in Columbus, Ohio, O-H-I-O. I thought that's going to be a problem. Turned out it was. Turned out it was. Turned out the logic was right. Turned out the logic was good. So I'm leaning on that this year. I'm leaning on you got to talk to me about not just what you've done, but who you've done it against. We'll see how this all shakes out. We got a lot more college football. When we come back, let's talk about some of the games from the weekend. Let's talk about some of the results from the weekend. Let's talk about what they mean, what they say about some of the playoff contenders as we scream towards Rivalry Saturday. That's all coming up as the Rob Brown Show continues right here on the Fan Upstate. All right, the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, Rob. My man Ben filling in for Lonzo today. You want to be a part of the show? I want you to be a part of the show. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is available to you this AM. 844-FANFONE, 844-326-3663. Our text line is open, 71307. 71307, start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air, like the texter who texted in during the break and said, I did not expect to hear a Lord of the Rings reference on my drive into work this morning. Love it. Well, texter, I don't know if you are new to the Rob Brown Show Armada, if you are welcome. I don't know if you are a seasoned veteran of the Rob Brown Show Armada. But if you are, my sports fandom and my nerd fandom, they aren't separated. They aren't segregated. They are one. All right. You're going to get Avengers references dropped into the sports. You're going to get Justice League references dropped into the sport. All right. You're going to get Lord of the Rings references, Star Wars references, Star Trek references. I mean, I don't discriminate. You can love sports and nerddom. Lonzo and I's office is referred to as the Fortress of Nerditude, all right? Like, by people in the building, all right? Like, it's full of that stuff. So, welcome. I'm sorry. If you're not into the nerd culture, You're just gonna have to tolerate it every now and then. All right? It's just how it's gonna be. The Sandstorm checks in on the stream. He said South Carolina smokes Clemson by 21. Don't need any imaginary people. They are that much better. End quote. Like I said, I think if I'm power ranking these two teams right now, just in terms of who's playing better football, right? And keep in mind, I do want to be clear. There is a difference, as we tell you week to week when we do our power rankings, there is a difference between power rankings and rankings. Power rankings is who's better right now. The rankings take into consideration dating back to week zero. Power rankings are, if we looked at these two teams and what they are doing right now, it is the most, what have you done for me lately? Ooh, woo, 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 woo. Yeah. Rankings say, what's your resume? What's your CV? What have you done from week zero, 10 years ago, all the way until week 13 now. That's the difference. And so with that being said, power ranking these two teams, if you ask me to do so, I got to say South Carolina's playing better football. Slow start against Wofford. But I think that is to be expected, right? South Carolina coming into that game had played like a lot of ranked teams consecutively. They had gotten through a lot of fistfights. Going into that Wofford game, they played Mizzou, who was ranked. Vanderbilt, who was ranked. Texas A&M, who was ranked. Oklahoma, who was ranked. Alabama, who was ranked. Ole Miss, who was ranked. The week before that, they did have Akron. They dropped a 50-burger on their heads. The week before that, LSU, who was ranked. Kentucky, who was ranked. In fact, at this point, it is easier to count the list of teams that were not ranked when South Carolina played them than it is to count the teams that were. Because the list is Wofford, Akron, and Old Dominion. Kentucky was ranked, LSU was ranked, Ole Miss was ranked, Alabama was ranked, Oklahoma was ranked, Texas A&M was ranked, Vanderbilt was ranked, Missouri was ranked. So it made sense to me. I don't think that this is a hot take. In fact, I think it's just football. There are a couple of cliches that I leaned on this weekend. You guys know I can't stand a college football, a sports cliche. I think cliches are overrated. I think cliches are lazy. I think cliches are too frequently leaned on by people in this position, people that serve as sports talk hosts. I think people lean on cliches because it gives them an out from having to really dive in and think things through. So I don't love them. But there were two cliches that I really did lean on this weekend. And if I have to lean on them for one weekend, then I think they are cliches for a reason. And I think those are cliches that have to be considered when you're considered when you put your rankings together. One of those cliches came into play when I put a whole lot of money on Ohio State to cover up Indiana. They were 10.5-point favorites. They won by a lot more than that. Why? Well, the same reason that I gave you when Clemson lost to Louisville. You'll remember going into that game, and we talked about it. Clemson's offense was firing on all cylinders. Clemson's offense had Cade Klubnik suddenly as a I think the fifth or sixth shortest odds to win the Heisman Trophy. The offense was firing on all cylinders. Words are hard. I should be better at them. And then Louisville came to town. And I think just about everybody picked Clemson to go ahead and get another home dub over the Cardinal. And then we looked and said, you know, I think you gotta keep it a buck on this one. I think we've got to be intellectually honest. Before that Louisville game, Clemson had played one competitive game. Scratch that. Had played one game against a competitive team. The game was not competitive, and that is when they went up against Kirby Smart and his Georgia Bulldogs back in week one, and they got hammered. After that, App State, it's not that good this year. They're not the App State of old. NC State, I think that was the best team that you had played. You did hang a 59 on their head, and I do think that's a respectable NC State team, but like not cream of the crop. Stanford, who's not good. Florida State, who is maybe the most disappointing team in the history of college football. Wake Forest in Virginia. It wasn't exactly a who's who. And I think had we all leaned into the cliche of they really have not been tested in a way that there were lessons to be learned, right? Like, were there lessons to take away from the Georgia game? Georgia was good. There was your lesson. Turns out maybe not as good as we thought they were, but the way they beat down Clemson Everybody said, oh, here comes Kirby and the dogs again. But there wasn't a lot you could take away from that game. What did you take away from App State, NC State, Stanford, Florida State, Wake Forest, and Virginia? Not much, right? I think I leaned, or I think we would have made some money if we would have leaned into the cliche of who have they played that has tested them? Who have they played that has created a situation that they could learn from and lean on? Being able to learn things. And I don't think that this is, I don't think I'm breaking the wheel here. Being able to learn stuff about yourself in a competitive game against a good team. Being able to figure out what about you is good, what about you is bad. What in your book works, what in your book doesn't. And then grow from that is massively important. That's why I picked Ohio State over Indiana. Because while I love Indiana, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I think it's a good football team. Please don't mistake this as me saying that Indiana's not a good football team. They are a good football team. I don't think Indiana's done. In fact, not only do I think Indiana is not done, I think they're going to run up the score on Purdue this weekend, and I think Indiana is absolutely getting into the college football playoffs after the season that they have had. I think probably is the 11th seed, maybe the 10th, but I think they're in. And so, looking at it that way, I went into this game and I said, I like Ohio State for the big dub. Why? Because Indiana has not been tested by a good team. They found themselves in a shootout with Michigan. But again, said going into that game, this is Michigan Super Bowl. They are working through what might be the most disappointing post-national championship year in a very long time. But this is their Super Bowl. They have two chances left this year to do something memorable. They have two chances left this year to do something that the seniors on that team are going to be able to talk about when they graduate and move on. I mean, they've all got it. Well, those that were there last year got a natty. But as far as this season goes, Michigan has two chances to do something special. They had Indiana, and they have Ohio State at the end of the year. So it felt like a Super Bowl game. So you got the absolute best game that Michigan has played all year long. But it's not a good team. And I hope nobody made the mistake of thinking that they are. They're not a good team. So Indiana had a shootout against a bad Michigan team, and then they had their first contest against a great team in Ohio State. That's why I went Ohio State to cover up 10.5 and leaned on that. That Clemson-Louisville loss from a few weeks ago, that loss has won me a lot of money because I dialed in after that. I dialed in after that on the, what is the competition before your tough first game? What is the competition you've played before the first time you're up against a team that can actually give you a little hell? Clemson, the answer was NC State. So they go up against Louisville. And yeah, it turns out maybe Louisville's a little bit overrated. But at the time, we didn't know that. At the time, Louisville was playing pretty good ball. I didn't go then. This weekend, I did. This weekend, I said, yeah, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep an eye on Indiana. They really haven't played anybody to get ready for Ohio State. I think they are in trouble, especially at the Big House, especially at the Shoe, especially up there in Columbus, Ohio, O-H-I-O. I thought that's going to be a problem. Turned out it was. Turned out it was. Turned out the logic was right. Turned out the logic was good. So I'm leaning on that this year. I'm leaning on, you got to talk to me about not just what you've done, but who you've done it against. We'll see how this all shakes out. We got a lot more college football. When we come back, let's talk about some of the games from the weekend. Let's talk about some of the results from the weekend. Let's talk about what they mean, what they say about some of the playoff contenders as we scream towards Rivalry Saturday. That's all coming up as the Rob Brown Show continues right here on the Fan Upstate.